things SciComm. What does the future of science look like? What's happening in science communication? In this podcast, we keep you updated on the latest in research funding, publication technology, SciTech policy, sustainable development goals, artificial intelligence, virtual reality, and more. Here's your host, Nikesh Ghazalia.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to All Things SciComm. All Things SciComm is a weekly podcast brought to you by Science Talks, a media platform that aims to make science accessible to everyone. In this program, we dive into the latest from the SciTech world. My name is Nikesh Ghazalia, and I'm joining you from London. Let's get started with today's episode.
All Things SciComm. Today's innovator. Knock, knock.
Today, I'm chatting with Sami Benchkroon. Sami is the co-founder and managing director of Mauricie, a provider of comprehensive virtual and hybrid conference solutions. He has over 10 years' experience in virtual and hybrid conferences, as well as scholarly publishing. So as you can imagine, he's been heavily in demand these last couple of years. Thank you for making time, and it is great to have you on the show today, Sami.
Thank you so much for the invitation. Thank you.
No worries. So let's get started. It's more like a trivia for you. So when did you first think about Mauricie and the kind of work? Was it, you know, kind of already brewing in your mind, or did it just happen because of, I don't know, some sort of frustration or, you know, a eureka moment? So I'm sure listeners, you know, will find that very interesting and inspiring. Yeah.
I think it's a combination of two dynamics in my life, if you will. So whilst I was studying, I was working for a company that would build network structures on conferences, right? So I just by nature, I'm rather a computer geek and love, you know, to build network structures and Wi-Fi structures and so on. And then we did that for academic conferences. And very naively, we stumbled into the world of science, and we saw, hey, there is a concept of printing out a paper and actually sharing results, very relevant results on paper. And in the beginning, I thought, well, that concept is interesting. And then we saw that there is that concept is just a standard, right? That format of an, you know, paper poster is standard. And that was the moment when we saw, well, I feel that there are some inefficiencies that we can actually work on and that we can digitize, add a UI, you know, organize much better, connect it, learn from it much better. And that was one part. And the other part is, both of my parents are actually scientists, and my father comes from Morocco, my mother comes from Poland, and they always dragged me to conferences when I was still a very small kid. And so I at least got a little bit of that feeling. I think I didn't really realize anything back then. You know, I grew up in that environment. And I guess my parents, coming also from back then poorer countries, they always had that concept of accessibility of knowledge and accessibility of content in their mind. And I, you know, very early found out that there is sort of a greater injustice, that there are some parts of the world that do not have access to these high profile conferences that are happening in Europe and the US. So I feel that that injustice, that lack of accessibility also was inspiring me and driving me to that date to say, well, let's create a world where everything is accessible, is made accessible to everyone. So everybody is working on the same basis, because overall, it benefits humanity as a whole if, you know, you have collaboration partners around the world that have access to the newest scholarly outputs, to preliminary results as they happen. So this is a big vision for us, and Mauricie has the headline, Accelerating Scientific Breakthroughs. And I guess, you know, this started very, very early on.
Wow, that's so inspiring, Sami. I think despite the fact that I've spoken to you so many times, I think we've never went into this story. So that's a really powerful share. And just how all of it has come together, you know, over the years, like you said, you know, childhood, going with parents, then, you know, working, and the tech side in you, looking at those trends, and then, you know, having the courage to start something and being so comfortable with it. So, you know, that I can see that. Like I said, it's not that, I mean, yes, of course, we want to change the world and we want to make it easier, and knowledge has to be accessed by everyone. But it's not a very hard stance that you have on that. And, you know, you're kind of enjoying the journey as well.
Absolutely.
And, you know, learn on its way.
Absolutely. But I must say, right, the whole magic of Morosier is 100% the team, right?
Yes.
I need to just acknowledge, right? I'm just a very, you know, small part in that entire equation. We have by now a team of over 100 people. I think the last number that I saw is we're over 30 passports, 30 different nationalities, and a team of over 100, I think 110 or so people in three offices in Washington, D.C. now, in London, in Berlin. I just moved to Washington, D.C., right? So new contact, new people that are joining our journey at Morosier. So, you know, all those brilliant people here at Morosier, I am so fortunate to work with such a, you know, great group of people from all sorts of backgrounds, you know, countries, mindsets, and that's the true spirit of Morosier. So, you know, I'm really blessed every day that I get the chance and the opportunity to work with them.
Humble as always, Sami. That's great. As everyone knows, virtual conferencing was practically revolutionized in the last couple of years, and we all know what drove that change. But I'm sure you've seen various learning curves and mistakes made by users of your own conferencing platform. Can you tell about some of these, especially those made by the conference organizers? And what are the things that they shouldn't do when hosting a virtual conference or an online meeting?
Yeah. Well, very, you know, starting with the most complex question right at the start here. So very good. Where should I start, I must say? You know, when it comes to virtual conferences, I believe that looking back in the last years, especially scientific conferences have been quite similar for quite some time, right? So the innovation cycle on how these are structured hasn't been too dramatic. Nevertheless, we saw in the years pre-pandemic a lot of dynamics of people having the idea, the urge, and the interest to change a little bit their communication structure. They had already the urge to already bring a couple of content items online. They had the urge to also do a couple of innovative steps, if you will, to their conferences. So when the pandemic hit, my impression was that a lot of scholarly societies had made already a couple of thoughts on that topic. They were already in the right mindset, if you will. So it wasn't really what do I do now type of atmosphere. It is a, oh, what do I do type of atmosphere, but we have thought about it already a little. So it was a little bit, let's say, a little bit more prepared chaos than one would have thought. So what we still saw in those early days of the pandemic was still that pressing need to do things the way they always have been, right? So in March, April, May, June, right? All those first conversations that we have had is, please, Morosier, please, Sami, we just want to have the conference physically and we just want to do it online, right? Let's just put it online, right? And I believe when talking about what one should not do, I think that's really the first thing that one should not do is to, just because it worked offline, does really not mean that it works online. And we've seen historically a lot of evidences for things that worked offline do not necessarily work online. And I'm giving you an example, right? So the whole dynamic about, you know, exhibitions, booths, you know, different halls, you know, all those elements, the exact replication online is really something that is not made for the digital world, right? And digital and online has great advantages, but there are some limitations, right? So if you look at the conference per se, the need of a conference is that there's a multitude, right? There's the, you know, let's drink something at the bar type of element, which is hard to transfer into the online world. There's the information exchange, which actually works very nice online. And then there is that entire concept of exhibitor sponsoring and so on, that needs a lot of rethinking, right? You cannot just apply booths to the online world. So it needs some sort of advertising, sponsoring dynamics, new packages, but they need to be fleshed out very, very clearly. And if you want me to point out that one thing that people shouldn't do, I would say that's exactly the one.
Got it. Yeah. Thanks for that, Sammy. And so when you were talking about maybe comparing it with an in-person event, one of the things that came to my mind is when it comes to virtual conferencing, there's always the question about, you know, networking. And right now, networking remains a prime drawback of virtual conferencing. Maybe it is not, and of course, I would love to hear your thoughts. But if virtual conferencing is to become the norm in the future, what networking solutions are out there for organizers?
Yeah.
What new features could conferencing platforms have?
Yeah, so I would love to touch on the you know foundational hypothesis that virtual conferences is the norm in the future. I would love to share my view there, which is virtual conferences is not going to be the norm in the future. My perspective, it is going to be a combination of online and offline. It's going to be some sort of hybrid or blended or whatever name we all come up with, but it's going to be a mixture, right? Already in the beginning of 2020, which is interesting, right before the pandemic started, I gave a talk on exactly that topic to say, let's take off the pressure of content, exhibitors, and so on from conferences, maybe not exhibitors, but at least content from the conference, from physical conference, and move things online, right? Move things to the digital realm so that we don't wait for a year, then we meet for 2-3 days, and then everything happens, and then we wait for a year, and then again, we meet for 2-3 days, and then everything happens. But that it is a much more, let's say, a continuum, right? You meet, then you continue the conversation online, then you meet again, and then you continue the conversation online. So if you will, I think the networking part will be a big, big topic for when we start meeting in person again. So I truly believe that this human approach of meeting face-to-face, having a glass of water, wine, or whatever it is crucial, right? It's crucial. And yet, there are ways to obviously network online. And I think we don't need to reinvent the wheel. We've seen great social media platforms online. We've seen great community platforms online. We've seen great, you know, networking. You know, LinkedIn works very well for constant communication, constant sharing. We've seen all those tools already strive in the online realm. And the goal for us now is to actually include everything into generally conferencing and very specifically scholarly communication and scholarly conferences as such. So we believe that we've seen great conferences. You know, the networking part works very well online, but hybrid works always, in my understanding, much better.
Yeah. No, I like that, Sammy. I think what I'm hearing from you, and I think it's a big clarification, not just for me, but, you know, in future for the listeners as well, is that we are not looking at virtual conferences to replace all the elements of the in-person conferencing that we used to do. But I think we both can agree, COVID has taught us one thing is, you know, we question really the need of maybe traveling for every single meeting, traveling for, you know, every conference. And I'm sure, you know, we don't need to really penalize ourselves for not attending maybe a conference, because now we have great access to networking online, to learning online, to communicating online, to, you know, all of those elements. And that's essentially what you're saying, Sammy, that I think both can coexist. Both yeah. are fantastic, you know, solutions which can complement each other.
100%. And just to add on that, I think also, even though I said there were already dynamics pre-pandemic, people were thinking about these things, the pandemic definitely accelerated significantly all those innovation in that field, right? And although we had already great learnings just throughout the time of the internet, if you will, the time of online conferences in at that scale that we're at just started, right? So the innovation cycle is we're in the middle. There is great new ways that are being discovered, being elaborated. My very own company. You know, we have a large innovation team that really, you know, talks with a lot of scholars, you know, a lot of societies, and we are trying to innovate all the time, exactly also on that space. So there's more to come, but I feel the most important information there, or outlook, is the combination of everything that happens online, perfectly combined with offline in-person meetings.
Absolutely. I think that's a very wise take, Sami.
That's all the time we have today. Catch more of this episode in the next part with your host, Nikesh Ghazalia. See you soon.